When I was first looking at our readings for today, I made a note in my Bible, at the top of the Bible, I just simply put this statement, the injustice of salvation. And then as I went further and I was looking more carefully and how the Jonah and the Philippians and that all balanced up with the gospel, I changed that and I gave myself a new title, The Unfairness of Grace. The unfairness of grace. Now, we've already sung about grace. Some of you attended a course a couple of years ago, a Lent course, just simply entitled The Grace Course. This, what I'm going to share with you this morning, this is the gospel. This is what should send us out of this place with a skip in our step. This is what we are called, as the psalmist said, to share to every other generation. It is this what I'm about to remind you of and to share with you this morning. And I encourage you to tell people about what you hear. I encourage you tomorrow, when it'll be up on the website, to listen back to the recording. Please, not for any sense of aggrandizement of me, but for the glory of Jesus Christ, because this is where the rubber hits the road. This is what it is all about, and I praise God for it. The unfairness of grace. So let's have a little look at what this might be. Jesus starts, first of all. He talks about the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom, and kingdoms have subjects, and Jesus is inviting everyone enthusiastically, he is inviting them to become subjects of a heavenly kingdom. Now, we are subjects as members of the United Kingdom. We are subjects, and whether we agree with it or not, our constitutional head is our monarch, King Charles. We are subjects of the King. We have no say over that when we're citizens and subjects and we become members of the United Kingdom, that's it. That's the case. But Jesus is saying, look, you've got an invitation here. I'm not forcing you to respond, but if you respond, the reward, the benefit of being at peace with God. So it is a kingdom that we are being invited into. Now, the parable begins with the landowner heading out. Some accounts say the vineyard, but he's heading out and he's looking for workers for his fields. And he sets out at the start of the day. The start of the day would be 6 o'clock in the morning. So there are labourers gathering there already, waiting, hoping for someone to come along and say, yeah, you can come and work for me today. Now, that was the system then, and until really quite recently, that was the system in many places, in this nation and other industrialised nations. My hometown Hull, fellas used to queue up by the dockside with a black book, their black book. And they would elbow each other out of the way and jostle to get to the front to hand over the black book to the foreman. Once he had their black book, they were hired. And it kept a record of the contract for that day or for the week. And so these labourers are there. And the landowner says, I'll give you this fair wage for the day. And in some other translations, it's 1 denarius. That was the fair day's wage. So he is paying them minimum wage or above. Fair day's pay for their work. And they agree to that. And they're off and they begin to labour. Now, it also tells us that the landowner comes back on 4 more occasions. He's keen, isn't he? He's keen. He wants to get people to work for him. He comes back at the 3rd hour. That's 9 o'clock. The 6th hour, noon. The 9th, he's back at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And amazingly, he's back at the 11th hour. 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 hour left, and he's still inviting people to come and work for him. Now, what happens next is amazing, isn't it? Because he then says to his manager, his foreman, he says, okay, gather them all together, give them the wages, start with the guys who came in last, will you? And then he gives them a denarius. A whole day's pay for 1 hour. They must have been absolutely ecstatic. And I tell you, the others might have thought even better than that, and that's the guys who started working at 6 o'clock, because they'll have been looking at him thinking, flip it, like, look at this. Those guys have only worked an hour and they've got the full day's pay. What are we going to get now, fellas? And then, of course, we know that they get exactly the same. After bearing the heat of the day, they get exactly the same. And we're told they're a bit upset about it. And they complain to the owner. I mean, let's put ourselves in their sandals for a minute, shall we? I don't understand that. Can you? I don't understand that. I'm sure I'd have had something to say as well in one sense. But the landowner there goes to him and he says, why are you complaining? Because I have held to my promise. I have given you exactly what I said I would. And you have received exactly what you said you would receive. Why are you angry with me? Is it because I'm generous? And that would have really hurt him, that. Now, let's take that parable as a film, and the credits are coming up at the end. And here's the characters. The landowner, played by God. The workers, us. The times of the day are the stages of our life. And the reward that they were paid is the kingdom of heaven, available for everyone who responds to that invitation of Jesus Christ. Some people come to faith early in their lives and work the whole of their lives for the Lord. Some will come to faith in the middle of their life. Some will come to faith by the skin of their teeth on their deathbed. And I've known that. But they receive the same salvation, that same reward. I remember talking to an elderly gentleman a couple of years ago at the back of this building. He said, Dave, I'm 77 and I came to know Jesus 4 years ago. They've been the best 4 years of my life. I could see his face beaming. It was just beautiful to see and to hear what's been going on. But then he said, but I've got some regret, because I just think about all the joy that I missed out on for the other 73. And I had to say, I know what you're trying to say to me. But whether you come at 7 years or 77 years, the best still is ahead of you. Because you are heading for the kingdom of heaven. Your salvation is just the same as anybody else's salvation. To somebody who's worked there all their lives, right? But there's more to it even than that. Three quick points on it. There's so much more, because Jesus is saying to us through this parable, he's giving us a warning. There's a warning there for folks who have come to place their trust in Jesus right at the start of their lives. For those who've worked for the kingdom all the way through their lives. They've done the mission field. They've headed up the youth groups. They've led the house groups. They've been on the prayer team. They've led the worship. They might have even shared in some of the reflections and teaching. They've been on the Lent courses. They've done it all. But Jesus is saying Look. Don't fade. Don't fade. Don't lose heart. And most of all, do not become envious of anyone who comes to faith later in life. Because they'll receive the same reward as you. Now, there will always be some people, hallelujah, there will always be some people, as I said earlier, who receive salvation by the skin of their teeth. But hear me when I say, there is no enhanced pension provision for any of us who've been longer in the kingdom than somebody who just pops in at the last minute. And also, hallelujah, there is no secondary state of subsidised housing in God's mansions, like we're told about in John's Gospel, just because they pop in at the end. It's the same reward. It's the same salvation to us from Jesus that he's inviting us into. So, pause a minute. Whoa up, Dave. Are you really telling me? Are you really telling me that some felon, some murderer, some sex offender, some vile blood person who's been trafficking human misery across the Mediterranean and Channel, and people are dying at their hands, are you really telling me that their salvation is exactly the same as somebody else who's been in faith and a relationship with Jesus all their life? Yeah, I am. And that is the unfairness of grace. Yeah? That is the fact that grace isn't fair. And if some of you aren't there, kind of saying, yeah, that's not fair, is it? That really ain't fair. That grieves me, does that? And in fact, there might be some people listening now to this recording back thinking exactly the same thing. What I'm telling you, you really don't want fair. Because if God was fair, we would be in front of him and facing his justice and his judgment for rebellion and for sin. We do not want fair. And I thank the Lord that grace is unfair because I'm saved by it. Oh boy, did I need saving. I'm saved by it. That unfair grace of God. Another point. Don't hold God to promises that he hasn't made. The workers were trying to hold the landowner to a promise that he hadn't made. He said, hang on a minute, I've told you what we were going to do and I've held to that. I have been faithful. It was the workers who had a false expectation of the landowner. Yeah? So let's not hold God to promises that he hasn't made. Do you know there are some wacky ideas about God out there? Really wacky ideas. And they're made up because people are thinking that God should be like I want him to be. That actually he should be running the world as I see it would be a good way to run the world. Their fairness meter, if you like. Doesn't work like that. It's dangerous because we need to be sharing the truth, because the truth that I'm sharing this morning is really good. It's the best. It is really, really good news. That's why it's called gospel, which means good news. And when we put our trust in Jesus, it doesn't matter what we've done. We're forgiven. We are made right before God. We do not face his justice. We are saved by his grace. we head out with a skip in our step. Yeah? That's what it's all about. And do not assume, let us not assume that God owes us anything. Like the workers thought the landowner did. God doesn't owe us a thing. Except justice and judgment. But by his grace, through Jesus Christ, we will not face that. The unfairness of grace. Thank you, Lord, for that unfairness. We do not receive what we deserve, and we do receive what we do not deserve. God sent his son Jesus Christ to die in your place, to die in my place. What more can we ask for? Nothing, can we? Truly nothing. I close with a reminder above the gentleman who wrote those words in our opening hymn, Amazing Grace, John Newton. Oh my word, John Newton knew what grace meant. That's why he wrote those words. John Newton was a slave trader, and he was renowned for his brutality. He brutalized, he raped, he murdered, he enslaved and made miserable literally thousands and thousands of people's lives. And then he heard about God's grace. And it transformed him. Because he'd heard about the good news that actually through Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven is a real physical place that he was heading for once he put his faith in Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is a physical reality, folks, isn't that for all of us who are in Christ? But then he understood something just as important, in that the fact that the kingdom of heaven is a spiritual reality right now. To be experienced now, like the gentleman at the back, age 77, and just bouncing up and down with it. We need to crush our fairness meters because they are based on self-created systems of equality and not on God's generosity. Hallelujah for God's grace. That we do not receive what we deserve, but we do receive what we do not through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and amen.